Good to see all of you today. I'm Susie Judd. If you're new here and don't know who I am, my husband Matt and I started Good News Church here a long time ago, it seems, these days. And Matt is not with us today. He's in Minnesota. He went up late last night. His mom is having surgery in the morning, and he'll be back in a couple of days. He's just up for a little short trip. But I'm here, so it's okay. Yeah, it's all right. Good to see you. Well, today I have a message that I have to tell you just a little bit of a struggle about whether I was going to give this message or not. Nate will tell you I send him many options. Pick one, Nate, because it's not something that necessarily, you know, seems, you know, like something people want to come to church and hear about. But I'm going to tell you, you need to hear about it. And you're gonna know that before we're out of here today, because there's something that we all have in common, but we don't much like to talk about. And when it's thrust upon people, it can be a very difficult time, the most difficult times in people's lives. And I'm talking about death. Death. Because you're gonna die, and everybody you know is gonna die. It's true. And we don't really like to talk about it, so we need to go ahead and get comfortable with it, because death is coming. And, you know, it's interesting, because sometimes I'll talk to my kids about me dying or one day or things like that. And they're like, we're not talking about that. We're not going to speak of this. And I'm like, talk about it or not, we're going to do it. All of us, every person. It's the sure thing, right? It's a sure thing. We're all going to die. And so, you know, you say, well, I'm planning to go with Jesus in the air. Well, you're still dying. You're just going to step through death in a moment. Just a real quick death on the way up and getting your new body. But we're still all going through death. Now, these bodies that we live in, when I'm talking about death today, I'm talking about these bodies that we live in dying. And as we talk today, you'll see that it's not scary is what sometimes we think it is. But the real death, the scary death, it's already been dealt with, and it's already been defeated. And the reality is that if you have been born again, you have already died. Paul said in Galatians 2, I, as a child of God, I've been crucified with Christ. So when you received the sacrifice that Jesus made for you at Calvary, and you acted on what Romans 10 says, you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confessed him as your Lord, you in that moment experienced a rebirth. But before you were born, you died. The inside of you went through death. The old man died, and you became a new person. So you already experienced the worst kind of death, which is spiritual death. You step through that. And now all we're going to do is lay down these bodies. So when we have a funeral for a person who is born again, a person who's received Jesus, all we're doing is we're honoring that person's life. But in the remains that we have in front of us often, that is just the suit they used to wear. And frankly, I think it's going to be good to put off these bodies. I'm looking forward to that, because the Bible says one day we're getting a new body. And it's a better model. Doesn't wear out. Doesn't creak. Doesn't dent. Get banged up. Crack. All the things that we deal with these bodies. Doesn't smell funny. I mean, these bodies, you got to wash them down. Got to hose them off, or they're a mess, man. So we're getting better bodies. So the day we lay these down, it's a good day for us. But we're all going through this process, so I just want you to get comfortable with it. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 2, because this is a very critical thing for you to know and understand. And I think a lot of Christians aren't aware of this. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 says, inasmuch then as the children, we've just been singing about how we're children, have partaken of flesh and blood. So we have these bodies, flesh and blood. He himself likewise shared in the same. Who's it talking about here? Jesus. He, it's a big H and big H, two big H's. He himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same. The Bible tells us that Jesus, he put aside his, heavenly role, and he came down and took on flesh and blood. That's what it's talking about. It says he shared in the same. He's born of a virgin. He lived here on the earth in a human fleshly body. And he did it that through death, his death, where he died on Calvary, what we celebrate on Good Friday or commemorate on Good Friday, that he died at Calvary, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, there's a lot in these couple of verses, and here's what you need to know. First of all, death. It says here that death, that the power of death was in the hands of the devil. How did the power of death get in the hands of the devil? Well, we know this from, and I don't have time to go and teach you everything, but Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, if you'll read there, you'll see at the beginning God created man, and he created man to live and to live on. But one of the instructions, the chief instruction that God gave to man was, he said to him, there's certain things you aren't to do. One of the things, the main thing, don't eat right here of this tree, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in the day that you do eat of it, if you do eat of it, you will surely die. Now, that word die seems like just kind of a like die. But there's a little more to that word in the Hebrew. That word doesn't just mean die. It means that in the day that you eat of it, that dying, you will die. And so it speaks of two deaths, that there will be a dying of who you really are, and that will lead to the dying of this body. And so what happened when Adam and Eve sinned is that they died spiritually. You've heard us talk about this if you've been here. They died spiritually, the real them, the part of them that was alive to God, the part of them that where their power and strength was, the part of them that made them who they were. That part of them died and was separated from God, which is what eternal death is. That's what real death is being separated from God. Spiritual death, being separated from God, no longer in fellowship with the Father. So they died, but then this body, this casing, this covering, some call it an earth suit, this coating that we live in, that the real us lives in, began to die that day. And then we started seeing, if you read through Genesis, we started seeing a whole lot of physical death. The reason we see so much physical death in the Old Testament, particularly And right away in Genesis, we started with the death. I mean, you got one brother killing his brother. You know, just right away we get to murder. How did we go from walking with God in the cool of the day to murder in one generation? Boy, you talk about the fall. We have no idea how far we fell. Boy, that was a fall. To go from face to face with God to kill, murdering your brother? That's rough. But anyway, there we see death, and the reason we see so much physical death is because of the death that was on inside of man. And because of what Hebrews says here, someone now held the power of death. That is the devil. He held the power of death. And so man was subject to him. We were slaves under him for all of time until Jesus came. And what Jesus did is he came, he took on our everything that belonged to us. He took it on. He became us, stood as us. And he bore the penalty of our sin and the sin of all mankind. He bore that when he hung on the cross. And he died. And when he died, he didn't die his death. He died your death. He died my death. He died the death of every person. He died our death. They took his dead body off a tree and they put it in a grave. And the Bible says in 3 days, God raised him from the dead. What we don't have, often a lot of insight to is what happened in those 3 days. But we know from this and from a lot of other places in the scripture that what happened in the interim was that he himself, he destroyed him who had the power of death. So I want to tell you today, here's some good news right up front, that the devil has been destroyed. The devil is destroyed. He ain't the big, great, big, spooky boogeyman that he tells you he is. He has been brought to nothing, the Bible says. And he just works with smoke and mirrors. He just works with deception, lies. He's a big, big, big put on. Because he ain't nothing. Because he's been destroyed. So you need to know that today. The devil has been destroyed. And it says that power of death that he had, we know from other places in the scripture, he no longer has that. Because Jesus took everything that he had from him. Where did he get what he had? Where did he get the power of death? He got that through Adam's sin, Adam's fall. Now, I could just camp right there, my very favorite subject in the whole world, and we could just talk for days about all that, but we got to move on, and we got to talk about the other part, which is verse 15, where it goes on to say, the other thing that Jesus came and that he did through his death, burial, and resurrection is that he released those who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. Who were those people? Those people were all the people who were born in sin, who were born in spiritual death, which includes you. So you and me, whether you ever have actually considered it or not or thought about it, you know, it's just so normal way of thinking for all of humanity. It's just so normal for us in our thinking to fear death. It's the great unknown. Some people say you don't ever know. We'll find out when, you know, you'll find out when you die. Some people think your body just, that you cease to exist and you put a body in the grave. Some people think you go to sleep until some other event at some point. There are many things that people believe. But the reality is people are really governed their whole life by this fear of death because it's the great big unknown thing that we don't really know what's happening out there. Now, we could talk about it sort of in that nebulous way, but I want to break it down a little bit more. And I want to talk about particular ways that the fear of death manifests itself in people's lives, because this is what we're going to deal with today. And so one thing for me that has been a revelation in pastoring over these years and really spending time with people and getting, you know, really getting intimate with them, so to speak, about what their real thoughts are and what's going on in their lives. One thing that has been startling to me, honestly, has been that there is a pattern, and you may not be aware of it. This may be news to you, so listen up to what I'm about to tell you. All you young people, listen up to what I'm telling you. This is really important. There is a tactic of the enemy. There is a ploy that he has to convince people that they're going to die young. And he tells people this. And it starts as a little seed of a thought that comes into their mind, often when they're children. And there are events that happen. One man I was reading not long ago about, he said when he was 10 years old, he was watching a movie, and it was a really happy movie, and there was this family in the movie, and this little boy, and all these things. And at the end of the movie, and he didn't see it coming. He was 10 years old. He didn't see it coming. And the little boy in the movie died tragically. And he said when that little boy died, it did something inside of him, that in that moment when that little boy died, the devil said to him, the same thing's going to happen to you. But he didn't know it was the devil. He just thought it was some thought he had. It just seemed like, yeah, that's what's going to happen to me. And this little boy, when he was 10 years old, watching that movie, just saw a movie. You would think it was probably a Disney movie, you know? You know, remember Bambi's mama? Okay, never mind. just in a Disney movie. Things happen. And there, he latched hold of that thought. That thought came to him and he took it. And he's like, oh, I'm going to die young. And from that moment forward in his life, until he was a grown man, he was in his 30s before he ever dealt with, took the word of God and dealt with that thought. And all those years he was plagued by the belief that he was going to die young. And he never, here's the other part about it, he never told a soul. He just always believed it, but he never told a soul. Now, here's something else. This guy was born again and spirit-filled the whole time. He was a pastor, but he still had this strong conviction within that he was going to die young. It was because the enemy had just fed that to him, and that event, he just kept dwelling on it, thing after thing, and he would keep thinking, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And he firmly believed it. Then one day, he finally let it out, and he let it out to the right person, and that person just jumped right in the middle of it and challenged him with the word of God, and they settled it that day, and it broke the power of that thing in his life. And now he's in his 50s, which some of you would admit, that's not dying young if you make it to 50. These people over here. Now, he's just one of many, many people that I've heard of and many people that I've spoken to, talked to face to face, who've told me, yeah, I just have this sense. I said, Grace and I were watching a health documentary a few weeks ago, and they were interviewing people about things, and it was both of us just sat there like, just what? Because person after person, they would ask people on the street, how old do you think you'll live to be? And person after person said things like 45, 40, oh, I won't make it to 50. Person, am I right, Grayson? It was shocking. We're just like, what? Do people really believe this? Because see, from the word, we've been trained that we're going to live a long, satisfied life. And we've rejected the thought that we're going to die young. But these people, it was just like, what's your favorite color? Blue. Where do you live? I live in North Augusta. When are you going to, you know, how long do you think you'll live? 40. You know, it was just like that to them. It was so crazy. And then you're sitting here today. There are people in this room that this is a part of your belief system that you're not going to live to be very old. So that's one thing. We're going to have to cut that off today because it's a lie. Y'all remember Elvis? How many of y'all know? Now my mama saw Elvis down at the Bell Auditorium. If y'all want to come up, I mean when he was still Elvis, you know, when he was young and really Elvis. Y'all can talk with her about that later, her fond memories of childhood. But okay, got to get off that one. Elvis is everybody, Elvis died young. But you can read, I remember when I was a kid and Elvis died, it was prominent that Elvis had said over and over, the people around him knew this, and he'd said it, that he would never live to be older than his mother. His mother died at 44. Do y'all know how old Elvis was when he died? Well, you can look it up on Wikipedia. No, he died at 44. He died, just like you said, he had this conviction that he was going to die young, and he was just convinced of it, and it's interesting that he did. And you know, you see celebrities, and the reason that we know about them is because they have some fame in this world. But you see celebrities, they die young, you know, and then they sort of become famous. How many of them, you read about them, or you hear people around them, or you go back and hear interviews with them, and they have, all through there, they'll be sprinkled this idea that they were going to die young. And it's almost like then, too, there's this sort of notoriety, like dying young is a good thing. Like some people take hold of that. Like, yeah, that's, you're eternally young. You know, they're about to mark the anniversary of Princess Diana's death. And you hear people say things like, she'll be forever young. Like dying young makes you forever young. Let me tell you folks, that's not the goal. The goal is to live long and to die really, really old. That's the goal. That's where we're going, not going to die young and be forever young. What is that? It means you miss more than half your life. It means those really cute little grandkids that she's never seen them. They're so cute. We've seen them all over the world. You know, the little Prince George. I don't know why he's that big, but he looks like it. That's all he is to me. I don't know if I've ever seen him that big. She's never seen him. She died young. I'm not dying young. You don't have to die young. Another component of the fear of death that I've seen and known about, these are, you know, just things I've observed in my 52 years of living. When I was in my early 20s on my job, I worked with a young woman who was just a little bit older than me, and she was obsessed with death. Now, her name was Robin. Some of y'all will remember her. And she was obsessed with death. And I had never encountered anyone who was as obsessed with death as she was. She seemed like a normal person, you know, when you'd interact with her. But some days she would come into work. And I remember so plainly the day she came in and said to me, "Have you pre-planned your funeral?" Now I'm like 23 years old. Look, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get diapers for Maddie, you know, before the day runs out. Because we're running really low. You know, this is where my mind is. She's pre-planning her funeral. I just went and pre-planned my funeral. A few days later, she brought in a dress. "This is the dress I'm going to be buried in." Y'all, she's like 26 years old. She talked about it all the time. And I would just shoo her away like, "You are so ridiculous." But it was real to her. She had a young child too. She died before she was 30. She was obsessed with death. You remember? It was the craziest thing. I wish that I had known then what I know now. I could have helped her. And there may be some people in your life that you need to help. Maybe they have these kind of... She was just obsessed with it. She talked about it, talked about what songs... I'm telling you, she's in her 20s. It's crazy. It seems, but no, it was actually part of what this is. There's also this fear that people have that they're going to die, like that there's moments that they experience where they're going to die, like I'm going to die right now. They were talking about how they would get up to preach, and every time they would get up to preach, the enemy would tell them, the devil would tell them, "You're going to die while you're preaching. You're going to fall dead right there in front of everybody. And how's that going to look? How's that going to reflect on God? That there you are, young man, up preaching, and you just fall dead right there." And he would have anxiety attacks because he was so anxious that he was going to fall dead while he was preaching. Now, maybe that's not your story, but let me ask you this. Have you ever been driving down the road and you just had the thought, "I'm going to hit that bridge. I'm going to run off in the river. A car's going to come along and hit me. I'm going to be gone." These are normal thoughts that the enemy shoots at every person. You know, there's been a whole lot of wrecks on I-20 in recent times. Whole lot of wrecks on I-20. Have you heard about it? A lot of people have been killed on I-20. Have you thought as a result of that, "Man, what if I died on I-20? I better be careful on I-20. I better watch out because that's a deadly place, and I could die there. My kids, you know, I got kids that drive up and down I-20 every day. What if I'm thinking, oh my goodness?" These are the thoughts the enemy sends to you. You might be thinking those are normal thoughts. I'm going to tell you, the way the enemy works, his tactic, the Bible tells us, the only way he has sway with you is to send fiery darts that are thoughts that come to your mind. That's the way he works. And if you'll receive them and you'll start dwelling on them, and then you'll take those thoughts, as Jesus said, by saying and starting to talk about them, you are in a bad place. And you'll get to the point that the Bible describes this point, that a stronghold is built in your life. And what happens is through those thoughts and you entertaining them and letting them stay in your life, you start building, so to speak, this fortress in your life to reinforce that thought pattern. You have taken it and it is now yours, and it's part of your identity. It's a part of who you are. Just like those people that when they ask them, "Well, how old do you think you'll be when you die? How long are you going to..." 40. That was part of who they were. And if you'll allow those thoughts to stay when they come, it'll take you somewhere you don't want to go. It'll take you to an early death. Now, I'm talking about your life today. None of us like to talk about death. But I can tell you, the people who love you want you to hear this. Because they don't want to go to your funeral when you died an early death. We want you to live a long, 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 long life. And a healthy, strong life. It's the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. But the enemy works. He works. He works. And it's subtle. He doesn't come and say, this is the fear of death. I'm going to kill you, but the way I have to do it is I have to convince you to let me do it. So I'm going to give you these little thoughts, and if you'll take them, and you'll keep meditating on them, and you'll think about them, and you'll let me build a fortress in your life and get a big stronghold going, I can take you out. He never tells you that. Anybody know anybody that's died young? Well, we'll get to that. Here's something. You cannot be afraid of aging, because one way the fear of death works in our lives is we get afraid of getting old. Now, I know a woman who died young, and she was famous for being a person who said, oh, I don't want to get old. I don't want to get old. Oh, I don't want to get wrinkled. I don't want to get old. Ooh, I don't want to get old. Well, do you know, if you don't get old, there's only one way for you not to get old? There's only one option to not get old. There's no other thing. If you aren't going to get old, there's only one way to not get old. What is it? To die before you get old. So if you're a person who, for whatever reason, you fear aging, maybe you look at people that are older and you see their wrinkles or the saggy part under their arm, or you see things like that and you think, I don't want to be like that. Maybe you think old people smell funny and you don't want to be an old, smelly, funny person. I don't know. If you don't want to get old, you need to deal with that. Now, does that mean you need to be sick and you need to, you know, embrace, well, one day I'm going to be, you know, we'll talk about that in another service, where people that want to, you know, they're selling out so they can move next door to the hospital. My mom has some friends, they sold everything to move next door to the hospital because they knew they'd need to be there a lot. Now, that's a whole nother set of problems, but let's stick with this one right here. You get me off track. Here, stay with this one. You're going to live a long life, but also a satisfying life. So let's just look at the whole of the scripture, that you'll be of great age, but yet you'll be of great strength. He renews your youth. So that doesn't mean you have to, you know, but you're going to show some age. Unless you are really into, and then you're just going to look really funny. So you're either going to show some age or you're going to just look weird. And don't get me started on all that, because I could go on and on. So here's my point. You're going to have to embrace aging. I have told you repeatedly, aging is a good thing. Getting older is a good thing. Some of y'all are a lot younger than me. I tell you, life gets so much better as you get older. People think, oh, I'll be back in my 20s. Man, I do not want to go back. Life is so much better. Life gets so, I'm telling you, it gets so much better. It does. And then, you know, you don't have to be old and all broke down, thank God. But you need to embrace the fact you're going to age. Look forward to the seasons of our lives. And then when you're satisfied and you've lived a long time, you can say goodbye, take off your coat, and go be with Jesus. And then another thing that I think plays into this, I think that one reason people commit suicide is the fear of death. Because death seems so uncontrollable. You don't know when it might come. And there are people that are so harassed about death that they just can't take it anymore, and they take their own lives. Got really quiet. These are serious matters, y'all. I know we're laughing at things, but it's serious. This is life. Now, let's get to the truth, because it's the truth that sets you free. As you know the truth, it'll bring freedom in your life. Any of y'all can bear witness that you've come to know truth and it set you free? Absolutely. Now, so let's just go through the truth about death for Christians. Because I'm assuming this morning you're a Christian. If you are not a born-again believer who's given your life to the Lord, we'll take care of that before you leave today, so that this will be applied to all of us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 and 8. 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians 5. So we always, this is Apostle Paul writing, so we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, see, I mean, it's interesting. It talks about our bodies like it's a house. While we're at home in the body, so I'm at home in my body today, but while I'm home in my body, I'm absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body. If you ever come knocking on my body door and I'm absent, guess where I'm going to be? To be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So either I'm here in this body or I'm present with the Lord. That's it. Those are the options. There is no purgatory. There is no halfway point. Furthermore, when you depart from your body, you don't linger around with your loved ones. People say things like, well, I know she's here with us. I understand what you mean. The Bible says that we are cheered along by a great crowd of witnesses. I think that there is that sense that they have some, you know, they're cheering you on, they're observing you, there's some kind of, you know, viewing from heaven, so to speak, from wherever that they are, but they're not like here with you, present, like standing by you. And they don't haunt you. So to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's the very best news there is, y'all. When we leave our bodies, we'll be with Jesus. That's great news for us. Now, it's hard for our loved ones because they're still with your body and you're absent from your body. Then we dispose of your body and then you're absent from them in the sense of your presence, but you're with the Lord. But even in that, the Bible says we don't grieve or sorrow like those who have no hope. So our response to the death of a loved one is very different than someone who their loved one is not a believer. If our loved one is a believer, we're believers in Christ Jesus, we know the truth, we still miss them, but we don't have the sorrow, we don't have to, you know, grieve and sorrow like people who have no hope, because we have the hope that we're all going to be present with the Lord before long. So that's one thing. Here's something else you need to know. When you leave your body and die and go to heaven, you do not become an angel. Now I hear this all the time. He's just an angel now. God's got another angel. Angels, people don't understand spiritual things. Angels are a class of being. Just like people are a class of being. Just like on the earth, dogs are a class of being. You know, they're dogs. You don't become an angel in heaven any more than you become a dog. That would be changing into another class of being. In fact, if you understood spiritual things, you'd understand being an angel would be a step down for you. Because angels are not children of God. They are servants of God, messengers of God. But they are not children of God. So you don't become an angel. No human person transforms into an angel when they go to heaven. Because you're in Christ. In fact, in heaven, you are part of the body of Christ. On earth, you're part of the body of Christ. And you don't change into some other form. You just lay down your body. You're in Christ. Lay down your body. And you go to be with Christ. So you need to know that. Because people say that all the time. Okay. Speaking of time. There is no. Listen. Because people are screwed up. People in here think this. Listen. There is no appointed time for you to die. The idea that it was his time to go is unscriptural. People say, well, I'm not going to go before my time. As if there is a certain time appointed somewhere that God picked out and put a label on you. You know, you got a little serial code across your back, and it has your time, you know, date and time stamp of when you expire. It's not true. It's not true. People say that it was just his time. And that it's not, and especially when people die young, they're like, I don't know why it was his time. All kinds of things people say. I think this is based on primarily two things. One of them is Hebrews 9:27. You need to look at this. I think this is where it sort of came from, that idea. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed for men, y'all see this? It is appointed for men to die once. Do you see that? I think people misinterpret this and think it's saying it's appointed, you know, at a certain time that people are going to die. Like it's appointed a time to die. Because they mix this up with what Ecclesiastes says when it lists there's a time to live and a time to die. You know, y'all read that? And I think it's Ecclesiastes 3. Have y'all heard that? What chapter? 3, that's what I'm thinking it is. Ecclesiastes, where it says it's time. If you also read through there, though, I read through there this week. If you read what it says in Ecclesiastes, it also says there's a time to laugh. Are you seeing God appointed a certain specific time for you to laugh? Look, I laughed. I did it because I wanted to. I laughed again. Do y'all think God appointed a specific time that I would laugh? No, Terry's certain God didn't have anything to do with that. I don't think he did either. But if you want to take that meaning of that it's a specific certain time, you got to apply it to everything Ecclesiastes says. And there's a bunch of stuff in there. Now, here we go. But God is sovereign. And everything that happens is his will. Really? Really? Because it's interesting how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And he said to them, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Which, frankly, if you believe that everything that happens on earth is automatically happening because it's God's will, then what Jesus did in telling his disciples to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, honestly, they should have given Jesus a big thump on his head and said, Jesus, are you stupid? Why would we pray that? That's a completely irrelevant prayer because everything that's happening is God's will. What do you mean, pray that God's will be done? The fact that he instructed them to pray that way indicates to me that the things that are happening on earth are not necessarily God's will. And we also know that from what 1 Timothy 2 says, where it says that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we all know people who aren't saved. But it's God's will for everybody to be saved. But yet we all know people who aren't saved. So how do you deal with that? Well, you study the Bible and you understand that God gave people free will and not everything that happens is predetermined by God. We're not on some big automated program. God has given man the will to choose. And man can choose. In the same way, you have a lot to do with when you die. Your will is involved. Your will is involved. What you decide has a lot to do with it. And I'll prove that to you from the scripture. Philippians chapter 1. These are some good verses. Philippians 1 verse 21. This is Paul writing. He says, for me, to me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Now there's a very interesting concept. Because we see death as a loss. But Paul says death is a gain. So there's a good reason not to fear death. If you need a good reason not to be afraid of death, any of you ever dreamed of hitting the lottery? How many of you have ever dreamed of just having a really good retirement? Maybe a really great vacation? You ever dreamed of having maybe just an amazing vacation? Yeah, all those things would be gain, right? Death for us is gain. It's better than the lottery, retirement, the dream vacation. It's great for us when we lay down our bodies. Now, the hard part of death is the people that stay, the people that remain. Death is hard for them. But for the Christian who departs, it ain't nothing. Ain't nothing but blue skies, green pastures. It's just, man, it's awesome. And I think one reason the Bible doesn't tell us more about what happens after death and the reality of heaven is because we would get fixated on that and we'd want to go. We'd want to go. You have something so awesome coupled with the horror of this world, we'd be like, get me out of here. He couldn't get us to stick around and do our work. But it's gain. So there's nothing to be afraid of. Because the moment that you step out of this body, whoo, far beyond all you could ask or think or hope or dream or pray. And beyond that, it's good. It's gain. And Paul says in verse 22, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. So the reason for us to live in the flesh is why? Fruit. Produce fruit. Bear fruit. Not so you can gossip. I know this news for some of you. Not so you can, you know, anyway. It's fruit. And then Paul said this really interesting thing that I don't think people have read in their Bibles. This is what Paul says. Paul says, to die is gain. To live on in the flesh, that means fruit. Fruit, gain. Fruit, gain. And then he says, yet, what I shall choose, I cannot tell. What? Paul said, what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Like I'm looking at both of them and I'm trying to decide, which am I going to do? What am I going to choose? Am I going to choose to stay here, which means fruit? Fruit for the kingdom? Or am I going to just go ahead? Go on to all that heaven has for me, all that the Lord has prepared for me. And he goes on to say, for I'm hard pressed between the two. I have a desire, don't we all, to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. The only reason to stay is for other people. And he goes on to say he chose to stay for a season and eventually he left. But do you see this? This is not how people think about death. He's choosing, am I going to stay or am I going to go? He wasn't saying, nowhere in there did he say, God, is it my time? He didn't ask God, is this the time? Now, does God know when you're going to die? Yeah, he's God. He knows the end from the beginning. But it's not because he decided it. Not because he, you know, worked it out in this. He's got this amazing algorithm and he does the inputs and then. And here's your time, you know, of expiration. It's not like that. But that's what people think. Now, I'm going to just say a couple of things. Some of you know this. Some of you have worked in hospice. I know Shirley Gottschalk worked in hospice. I think that's one reason Shirley wasn't afraid to die. Shirley told me many times she was ready to go, wanted to go. And I think one reason she knew the realities of going, and she saw people go through the death process. And if you've ever been with somebody, a believer, go through the death process, there's some really interesting things that happen. I mean, really interesting stuff. I remember when my grandfather died, we were there in the room with him. I was 18. He died and went to heaven February 23rd, 1984. And he's there, and he is in the bed. He's been sick. We're all gathered around the room. We had just read him. My dad had just finished reading to him Psalm 91. And my, you know, he's like this. And suddenly pulls himself up. And there was, the door was over there. He pulls himself up and he looks at the door like this. And he was gone. I think somebody was there getting him. He was going somewhere. And people do all kinds of things when they die. You probably have a story similar to that or something you've heard. But, you know, medical professionals will tell you that people will hang on. when their bodies have absolutely no reason to continue to work, they will hang on and hang on and hang on. Sometimes people say, well, they're waiting to say goodbye to somebody. People do funny things at a time of death. It's amazing what the will of man will do. The other thing is, you know, there's people that have been diagnosed with terrible things, and the doctor will give them an expiration date. And they live way beyond the doctor. Even people that don't know about faith in God and God's healing power, but just their own determination. But on the other hand, there's people, nothing ain't hardly wrong with them, and they're out of here. Or the doctor, you know, the doctor says, well, you got this, and we're going to treat it and see. And, you know, the next day, they're gone. They don't even get the chemo hooked up, and the person left. I mean, people do strange things at death. I'm going to tell you, the will to live is a great big factor. And I found that in pastoring people. I got to find out where people's will is. I can't just assume. I'd like to tell you a precious story right there, but I don't have time, about somebody I walked through death with, and it was amazing. But they asked me for permission for them to go on. They said, I know you don't want me to go. Will you just let me go? If you'll let me go, I'm going to go. That's an amazing thing. I'm going to tell you something today. This is good news. The enemy can't just take your life. The enemy can't just kill you because he wants to. If the enemy, and this is the truth, if the enemy could just take your life, you would not be sitting here today. Because you are damaged to him. You are bad news in the kingdom of, you know, darkness. He wouldn't have you here. He'd get rid of you, especially you. Those of you who have some idea about your authority as a believer, some of you who are like really gung-ho about sharing the gospel, you would be done if he could take you out. He can't take you out. He has to get through to you and get you to agree with him. He has to build, somehow or another, get in there and coax you into going. That's what he does. Now, here's something else you need to know. God doesn't take people. God took them. I don't know why God took them. God took them. God didn't take people. There's nowhere in he does not take people. He does receive us. John 10:10, I think Matt read this last week. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The thief takes people. He kills people. How does he do it? We've been talking about that. Then, here's a common thing, that somehow or another, God needed this person in heaven. God needed them in heaven, so he took them. Now, if God needed people in heaven, there would be something in the Bible about it, wouldn't there? If this was a big part of God's plan to take people prematurely from the earth, to take them when they're 22 or 19 or 37, to take them to heaven for some special reason that he needs them in heaven, there would be some mention of it somewhere in the scripture, particularly in the New Testament. There's not a word about it. If this was really the theology of the scripture, then Jesus would be talking about it. He would have several verses where he said, there's some people God's going to need to take you early for many reasons. And there, you know, here's some of them maybe. It's the whole idea of God taking you early is contrary to everything Jesus said. It's contrary to the scripture. When you read the Bible, you understand, do you know where God needs you most? He needs you in one of these bodies here on the earth so he can talk through you, so he can use your hands and use your feet. He needs you here. Now, there's a scripture in, I think it's in Proverbs or Psalms. It's in one of those. I think it's Psalms. Where it says, the death, help me out here, of the saints is precious in his sight. What does it say? Yes, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Y'all heard that scripture? Any of y'all? And most of the time when people use that, they are using it in the context of, you know, it's really like precious, special to God when his saints, you know, when a saint departs. And I believe it is. I think that's true because to be absent with the body is present with the Lord, you get to, there's a lot of great stuff, and he, you get to enjoy him and see him face to face, so there's a lot of great stuff. But really, that word precious doesn't mean precious like it's special. That word precious is actually the word costly. Costly. Like, it's a big cost to the kingdom when somebody departs, because we no longer have you here working on this side. See, Paul was saying, if I stay here, there's fruit. Well, if you depart, there is no fruit. That's costly to the kingdom, because the kingdom needs you in the harvest fields. The kingdom needs you doing your fruit bearing here in the earth. So it's very costly to the kingdom. It's costly in the sight of God when you start looking at things. Y'all ever heard this before? Y'all think about this. This is truth. Now, I know it's a little bit after 12, but, you know, I got stuff I got to say here. All right, now, listen. Don't base your faith on what's happened to other people. I'm not going to live my life on anybody's experience. I advise you to do the same. Don't base your life on what's happened to other people. Base your life on the scripture. Chapter, verse. Where did he say it? Where is it written? Jesus said, it is written. When the devil came to attack him, he didn't say, well, you know what happened to John the Baptist? And but that wasn't what he did warfare with. He lived his life. The scripture. Here's why you can't base your life on the experience of other people. You don't know what's in the heart of other people. You know, this pastor guy I know that I was talking about earlier, that when he was 10 had that thing happen. The crazy thing about him and that fear of death that he dealt with for so long, the really crazy part was he had never told a soul. And he was having all kinds of problems and emotional problems from this terrifying thought that he was going to die young. But he never told anybody until the one day he told. And like I said, he told the right person. They helped him. But for years, he didn't tell anybody. You don't really know what's going on in the hearts of people. Your wife, your husband, that your kids, your mom, your dad, your sisters, your best friends could be convinced that they're going to die young, and they've just never mentioned it to you. You can't. People will hide it because it's a very personal sort of thought. I'll tell you something else. People hide, and you know this, people will hide their struggle with suicidal thoughts. All of us have had someone that we knew that ended their life, and we're like, but we didn't know. If we had only known. You ever thought that? It's a horrible thought. So that just shows you don't know what's really going on in people. You don't know what's happening, because the enemy gets in and he establishes a stronghold. And part of his plan is to keep it on the down low. He works in the dark. So he doesn't want you declaring it from the housetops, because he knows if you do that someone will challenge you with the truth. And he doesn't want you to hear the truth about it. He doesn't want anybody coming in and saying, no, you don't have to die young. That's the devil. That's a lie. God said he'd give you a long, satisfying life. He doesn't want anybody to take issue with that. So he keeps it on the down low, keeps it all hidden. Hidden away. He does that. That's how he works. So don't think that you know everything. That's why it's so difficult when somebody does die, when you decide why they died. It's ridiculous for you to like make, well, here's the reasons that this happened. Really, how do you know? You don't know. If you're here today and you're having thoughts of suicide, which I'm sure people here are, because that's how the enemy works. He tells people, this is the best answer. The obvious thing is for you to take your life. I had a man tell me one day, I would ride down the road and I would pick out trees and I'd pick out like bridges. I'd pick out places I could just ram my car into it to kill myself, because I had the thought, you know, these financial problems you're having, if do you know how much life insurance you have? If you just ran into that tree head on at a really high rate of speed. Look at all the money your family would get. That'd solve all the problems. And he'd think about it. And he told me, he said, I would think about that. You know, I'd think about it on Monday, on the way to work, on the way home Tuesday, way home, way to work. He said, I'd get to church on Wednesday night. And when I'd get to church on Wednesday night, I'd get in the service and I'd start hearing what was happening and the truth. And I'd be like, what in the world was I thinking? That's the devil trying to take my wife. And then, you know, he'd get all like, okay, kind of come to himself. And then, you know, Thursday, the pressure's back on. And Thursday night on the way home, he's looking at the tree again. Friday, Saturday. By Saturday night, he's thinking, man, that really seems like a good option. Then he'd come to church on Sunday morning. He'd get in the presence of God. God would love on him. He'd realize God's my source. God's my help. He's going to help me. And that thing would ease and get off of him. But he battled that. He had to, though, just take the word and fight that thing down. But those are the kind of thoughts. If something's coming to you saying, you know, things would be a lot easier for everybody else if you weren't here. You know, if your mama didn't have to deal with you, life would be easier for her. Those kind of thoughts. That's the devil. That's the enemy trying to take you out. Or, you know, you start thinking about yourself and how you wouldn't have to deal with all the problems. You think there's no way out. The only way out. The only option I have, and that's the devil's really good at helping people narrow their options down to the only option left is for you to take your life. He's working on that with people. This is the only option. I'm going to tell you, that ain't the option. It's the lie. That's the worst possible option. The pain that you leave behind when you do something like that is just indescribable. It's not the answer. So I'm closing here. Psalm 91. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This word satisfies the Hebrew word that's akin to the Greek word that's translated abundant life. That abundance that Matt talked about last Sunday. He wants to satisfy us with a long and abundant life. A life overflowing with good. That's the will of God. A long, long, satisfying life. And that's something you have to settle yourself, and no one else can settle it for you. You're going to have to settle it. Abby Parker can't settle it for you. You know, Dylan, your mama can't settle it for you. Michelle, you got to deal with that. We all. Tanya, Kelly loves you, but he can't settle that for you. You have to decide that you're going to live a long, satisfying life. And then you have to trust in God. So you decide. You set your will. That's what a decision is. You set your will. I will to live a long, satisfying life. And then you trust in God, because you can't make it happen, but he can. But what's required of you is to trust in him. So you put your trust in him, and that's just as simple as, you said to me, you promised me in your word that you would satisfy me with long life, and I'm trusting in you, and every thought to the contrary I cast out, I put aside. I will not entertain other thoughts. I'll instead meditate on what you've said. You've said you're going to renew my youth. And you said you were going to give me a long, satisfying life. And you just have to take hold of that. And you don't wait till you're, you know, 68 to take hold of that. You take hold of it when you're 12, when you're 15, when you're 20, because that's when the enemy comes, is when you're even young and tries to take your life. Now, one of the things that I like to remind all of us is this: death is imminent. None of us can avoid it. We need to prepare We need to live in light of eternity. You know? Everybody you know is going to die. I mean, I like to think of it this way. In 200 years, not one person you know will be alive. We're all going to be gone. Not one person alive on planet Earth. There's not one person that's still going to be here. That's a pretty amazing thought when you consider it. The most important thing you and me can do between now and the gaining heaven, the gaining eternal life, the gaining of eternity, the most important thing about it that we can do is help other people settle this and what they're going to, where they're going to spend their eternity. Now, so there's people, I know there's people in your life that need to know some of the things we talked about today. Now, I got a couple other things I want to do. Let's just for a moment bow our heads. I made mention earlier that I was assuming we were all Christians, but I recognize that we might not all have called on the name of the Lord to be saved. So here's the opportunity. The Bible says, I mentioned this earlier, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Punishment for our sins was eternal death, separation from God. But the Bible says Jesus came and he took our place and bore that punishment for us. God raised him from the dead and he is alive. He ascended. He's on high with the Father. And the Bible says that if we will put our trust in Jesus and call on him, if we will receive him as the Lord of our life, that we'll be saved. And there's not some magic formula to that. It's as simple as believing it in your heart and just confessing him as your Lord. So I'm just going to quickly lead us in all of us in a confession of Jesus as Lord. So we can just, if you've never done this, this is what you need to do. Just say, God in heaven, I believe you raised Jesus from the dead. And I confess Jesus this day as my Lord. Amen. Okay, I wanted to say that. Now, hallelujah. I want to minister to two groups of people. But before I do, Nate, can you hand me that mic? I have Terry, I want you to come up, and Vanessa. And I want them to share with you. Terry just has something on her heart, and then Vanessa's going to tell her story. Huh? Oh, I got to push this off. Okay. Sorry. There you go.
Well, I felt God just impressing me to share with you all how vital and very, very important it is to deal with this and deal with the fear of death. I can't even remember. It's been a couple of years when it all came to a head for me, and basically I had a breakdown, and the fear of death had been a stronghold in my life. I really didn't exactly know it, and I couldn't put it into words. But my dad died in his 40s, and then my brother-in-law, Matt's brother, died in his 40s. And I found myself in the fetal position, crying and could not get peace. And I'm a spirit-filled Christian, and, you know, I know my authority, but I could not get peace. And I was crying, begging Matt, take care of yourself. Don't die early. Don't leave me. Because that's just something that had been a bit just built up in me, and I didn't even know it was there. So I'm just begging you, you have got to deal with the fear of death. If it has planted a seed in your heart, it's very important that you deal with it. Because it will affect those that you love. And it'll make you a nervous wreck. And you've got to get that out of you. God has better for you. And I can't tell you how much freedom I have walked in since I've been able to deal with that and get it out of my life. I no longer am worrying or having nightmares about my husband leaving me early, you know, checking out of this world. So I wanted to pray for any of those that have that, you know, that it torments you, that it bothers, it's this thing that bothers you, and you may not even realize it.
Yeah, we'll do that. Okay. We'll do that in just a minute. So Terry, stay ready. I want Vanessa to come and share. Now, Vanessa is a person I just would say this before. Vanessa is a person that I encountered when I was talking earlier about I didn't know that the enemy was harassing people like he is about dying young. And Vanessa is one of the people that shared with me what was going on in her. We kind of went through this together of learning this is what's been happening. And I've watched her walk free of this torment. So just share a little.
Since I was 16, I was thinking that I'm going to die young before 40. And so my older brother did. And he did die at 39 and 9 months. And that was like a awakening and confirmation that, yes, I'm going to die before 40. But I was coming to church, and I was hearing the truth, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit and keep coming and keep hearing the truth. And I had to say something. I was 37 when I got my life insurance for my kids. But then I talked to Pastor Susie and I told her I am free. Since that day, I am walking free in peace, happy. The happiness that I never had before. Because you're always counting your days down. That happiness. To see my children. My very last one. That's everything to me. Just because the devil is a liar. And he lied and told me something. And I believe it. And my brother believed it. And he is gone. He not just took away his life, but the life of his kids, because now they weren't believers. Now we have two, praise God, that they're believing. But he has a plan. But we're not gonna give him that. We're not gonna give him nothing, a peace, nothing. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Every time the kids say, you know the kids, I was like, oh, I wish he's not born or whatever. I'm like, rebuke that in Jesus' name. No, we don't say that in this house. But yes, and rebuke it in Jesus' name. Long lasting life in Jesus' name.
And how old are you now?
45.
Whoop, whoop. Awesome. Awesome. Praise God. Yeah, I mean, Vanessa came and sat on these chairs just like you. I had no idea until that day she came in my office and all that came out. I tell you, when Vanessa turned 40, it was a glorious day. Just proof that the enemy is a liar. And he can't do what he says he's going to do. He can't back up what he says. Hallelujah. So we're going to minister now to three groups of people. We're going to minister right over here to anyone that has a fear of someone in your life being taken out. The fear, and it might be, I know there's women that can't sleep at night if their husbands are out late or working overnight. They're so afraid of what might happen to them. If your kids don't call by a certain time, you're thinking of which hospital to call first. You think that's normal. I'm telling you, that's the devil and that's torment. And it's not the peace of God. So maybe it's not that extreme. Terry didn't even realize it until she got to this point in her life that because her dad had died young, it had created this in her life. And I don't know, this pastor friend of ours, it was just watching a movie that started it in his life. I don't know. It's a seed though. So if that's you, just a moment, when I have people come up, I want you to come over and Terry's going to minister to you. Freedom is going to come to you. And then, Nate, why don't you come and stand here? Right here, Nate's going to be here. And this is serious. And I don't know if anybody has the guts to come up for this. But if you have had suicidal thoughts coming at you, thoughts that, you know, people around me be better off if I wasn't here. Thoughts like, you know, there is no other answer. There's life's too much. I'm not enough to make it. And you've thought about it. Maybe you've planned it. I can tell you stories all day of people who, there was a lady in our church. Y'all don't even know this about her. It was a lady in our church. She took a fatal overdose and she woke up the next day. Like, what happened? She was totally fine. But if you've been having thoughts like that, I want you to come up. because you can leave here free today. And then finally here, and Vanessa, come up here. And we're going to minister to here people that you have had a fear of you dying young. And maybe you didn't even know you had it. That's how subtle this is. You may not have even realized you had it until we started talking about it today. And suddenly you start thinking, you know, I've had thoughts like that. And you're not even really conscious of it. It's not a thing that necessarily is way up here. It might just be kind of down here. But this today, as the truth's come, it may have stirred something up. If that's you, just have the boldness to come up. You can leave here free today. Hallelujah. Don't let the enemy keep you back with fear. Fear of people, fear of what are people going to think. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let's all stand. And I'm going to pray. And as I pray, if you fit in either of any of those categories, just slip up here. Hallelujah. And let us minister to you. Let's just all be in an attitude of prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, just join me in praying. Father, I pray today. First of all, I pray for boldness. And I take authority over fear in this place, in Jesus' name. Fear that would come against people in here. I take authority over you in Jesus' name. You have no place in here. This is where God's people are gathered. God is here, and you have no place to operate in here. And I forbid you to keep people from coming to get free. Hallelujah. Just come on up to them. Come on up and go ahead and let them minister to you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. I pray for the people. I pray for boldness. Father, if this is what they've been dealing with, and maybe they haven't been able to put a label on it, but this is it, show them. This is it. This is what they need. This is the help they need. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. 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 I thank you for it, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father. Glory to God. I thank you for freedom coming in this place. Thank you for freedom. Freedom coming in Jesus' name. Freedom's coming. Freedom's come. Hallelujah. Freedom's come. Freedom's coming in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grayson, can you come up here? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Now, if you're still at your seat, I want you to scoot over next to somebody, and I want y'all to get in pairs, and I want you to pray. You can pray for people you didn't come with or people you did. I want you to pray for each other, and I want you to pray for each other to have a long, satisfying life. I want you to pray for your life together. Go ahead. Here's some people over here nobody's praying for. Wesley, go back and pray with Jay. There you go. Just make pairs around the room. He promised us length of days. Y'all lay hold together and pray for length of days. We don't want you going anywhere. We want you to live long and be satisfied. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Eddie, walk over here and start on the other end of the line here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father. I thank you for freedom and deliverance in this place. Thank you for freedom and deliverance. Freedom and deliverance. Freedom and deliverance. Freedom and deliverance in Jesus' name. Freedom and deliverance. Hallelujah. The devil's not having his way. The devil's not going to take us out, young. The devil's not going to have his way. There's freedom. There's freedom. Oh, there's freedom in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Father. Thank you for freedom. For freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom from fear. Freedom. Freedom in Jesus' name. Thank you for freedom in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Freedom. 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 Freedom in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Long, long life. Long, long life. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory, glory, glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for setting people free, for giving us long life. Oh, we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The enemy's been found out. Enemy's been found out. Oh, his tactics have been revealed. They'll come to nothing. His strategies have been revealed, and they'll come to nothing. His strategies have been revealed. They'll come to nothing. Hallelujah. 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 Long life. Long life. More abundantly. Life more abundantly. Life more abundantly. Overflowing. Overflowing. We just praise you today and thank you, Father. Thank you today. Thank you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for freedom. For freedom. For freedom for your people. Freedom for your people. Freedom for your people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory, glory, glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Long life. Life more abundantly. Praise be to God. 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 If you've never settled it, go ahead and settle it right now. You're going to live a long, satisfied life. Just tell the Lord. You're going to live a long, satisfied life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.